what does it cost to actually process these transactions? Even on the crypto side, at some point, somebody's going to get the gimmick. Visa, MasterCard did it. They're like, we give rewards to the consumer. The consumer will fight to keep those things. And then we can, you know, put in whatever other fees we need to at that point. And that's what's kind of occurred at this point. Like, I'm not giving my 2% cash back either. And I'm like on the other side of the fence advocating not to charge that much. So it's a really unique problem. All of the law right now is focused on the Visa MasterCards of the world. That's not the problem.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, Jeremy Lasaris is with us now. Look, if you take credit cards in your business and you're taking in more than $50,000 a month, you have to hear what Jeremy has to say. You're paying a ton in merchant fees, and Jeremy can save you big bucks here. Jeremy, welcome to the show. Really appreciate you coming on, helping the FSN community. I know there's a bunch of you out there that live on credit cards, literally on receiving credit card payments and debit cards as well. Jeremy, how do you save people money on their merchant fees?
So I think it's really important to start with saying that that in the industry, when you talk about credit card processing, everybody knee jerks. I'm not switching. I don't want to switch my processor. I don't want to go through underwriting and set up a new account. I don't want to get a new terminal. So it's important that I kind of start this conversation at least by saying what I do has nothing to do with changing credit card processing at all, because I'm immediately tied to the stigma of that industry, which is really not good. I work with existing credit card processing vendors, and we use a machine learning tool to identify the profitability of that processor. And we use that data to negotiate. So it's just data-driven negotiation. And okay, we can call it AI, but it's machine learning, where we're identifying the cost of those transactions, how those transactions are routed, a lot of the technical pieces of what the card cost is. And then we're taking that data back to the processor and using it to negotiate the price down. So it's a pure play cost reduction exercise.
Interesting. And what kind of savings can you get people here?
So I know that this is a weird one to say, but every deal is like a snowflake. There is no two deals that are the same. And so revenue to profitability or revenue to cost, there is no such thing. I have a small dental practice in Miami. Mm-hmm. They do $150,000 a month. We were able to save them $6,000 a month. On the other side of it, we had a national hotel chain that everybody would recognize. They do millions of dollars a month. We were only able to save them $300 a month. So there's no direct correlation between revenue and potential savings. The one thing I challenge companies to do is to take a copy of their credit card processing statement, take the total of fees, divide it by the total that they have in terms of revenue from their sales, and see what the percentage is. And anything above, let's say 2%, something that you should take a look at.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's interesting that it varies. So some people are actually getting a good deal already and they just don't know it, huh?
And you know, that's my favorite conversation to have is, look, your processor is honest. They're charging a reasonable fee for the volume that you're doing. So I don't think you should make any changes or try to negotiate at this point. But we'll look at it again next year, because the thing that we do know about processors, they change pricing at will, and in some cases with no notice, because that's what the contract says. The Visa MasterCard has 300 different rates and fees, right? You and I know, because like we swipe a card, I want 2% cash back here. I get like 1.75% cash here. If I use it for fuel purchase, like there's very complicated interchange. That's what it's called. So the credit card processing companies have to be able to change their price structure at will, because Visa's like, hey, I'm going to roll out a new card, or I'm going to change the interchange fee. So they have to be able to change their pricing. The problem is that This became predatory years ago when they realized no one's paying attention. So we can change the fee at will, and it doesn't have to be in step with when Visa, MasterCard does it. So they'll add 5 basis points here and 2 cents there and $5 a month here. And no one's paying attention because they'll look at it and go, yeah, it's like 3-ish%. That's the cost of doing business is what I hear way too much. And more recently, the companies came out with simple payments. It's just a flat 2.5% and 30 cents a transaction, which everybody loves because like I get a statement, I can read it. I get it. The problem is like a debit card only costs 0.25%. A very low rewards card costs 1.29%. So how much are you paying? The simple payments doesn't make it cheaper. That's all. So we try to take the complexity and simplify it to find where the cost savings could be without making changes. That's the number one thing that we do.
All right. So I would think this would be sweeping the world now, your system.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of getting introductions, right? And also, as much as I love being on podcasts and talking about it and getting it out to the world, I also don't want it to get full attention. We're not running ads. We're not trying to be big in front of all these banks and processors, because the last thing they need to know is there's a company like us that's out there trying to take their profits away. There's $50 billion a year above the profit margin line of a research study that we did that we believe is falling on the shoulders of small to medium sized companies, not the big boys. Those guys are all negotiating and constantly staying on top of their vendors. They have sophisticated supply chain folks that are dealing with this every year. I think that most of that burden falls on the companies that can't afford it. They don't have supply chain people. They don't have, you know, somebody doing vendor analysis every year. They don't have the sophistication or education enough to understand the statement. So they're just paying it. So I'm trying to bring that to the masses, but we're trying to also fly a little bit under the radar. I don't want the attention of, you know, the big banks and processors saying, hey, there's a company like this. Let's not negotiate with anybody. So our hope is to try to reach those people under the radar as much as we can.
Seems to me there's like antitrust issues here too.
There is. I mean, they've signed real treaties with software companies to not change pricing, to fix pricing, to stop free market choice. Like all of the things that you hear in these antitrust suits, they're doing it all, but they're just not getting caught in it because they're chalking it up to like, well, we secure the payment and we bring a lot of value and all these other pieces. But I see processors charging 5% and 6%. That's a silent partnership. I mean, we're moving money here. This isn't as sophisticated as they've made it out to be. Don't get me wrong. I love what they do. I love that I can go in and thumbprint or, you know, scan my face and pay for something in a seamless way. That's awesome. They've done a great job and it's secure and I don't have to worry about my money. And if somebody steals my identity, all of it's taken care of in a very seamless manner now. That's great. But 6%, it just seems too much when there are companies that are paying sub 2. So our goal is to help people get the transparency and see what they're paying, one, and two, give them some power. I mean, the power should rest in the small to medium sized company, not the big companies.
Hey, so how do you get paid? Do you get a percentage of what you save?
That we're performance only. So if we don't save you any money, we make nothing. So it's a performance-based pay. And the way that we work is we do the analysis. We show people what we might be able to negotiate. Can't guarantee we can get 100% of it. If we get it, we analyze it every single month and show them how much money we saved them. And we split the savings with them. We do it for a short period of time. So they have, you know, a period of time where we make money. Mm-hmm. And then after that, if they want us to analyze, we can charge for analysis. We can help them continue to monitor and negotiate. It's totally up to the customer.
I love that you could keep it ongoing because it's just the kind of, I don't want to call it theft, but...
It's a game. If I change a pricing 2 basis points, you can't tell. I mean, yeah, no one's paying attention to it.
No, I totally get this. Fortunately, I've never been in a business where we relied on credit cards, or unfortunately. On the one hand, you sell more and you get, you get paid instantly, you have no receivables.
Right.
On the other hand, you're getting screwed. And this is a global problem because as more business have gone to electronic payment systems, basically the potential for mayhem here is increased geometrically.
It's what's even worse. We're hyperinflating the market now because what just happened recently, there's an article, I posted this on our website as well, but I think what you've seen more recently is merchants identifying the problem. They're like, why am I paying 4%? I'm passing this on to my customer. So now you see, and if you've been in Miami or other, you know, vacation zones, you see this cash discounting thing where it's like, what's this 3% charge to pay by credit card? And so Visa, MasterCard initially had a knee jerk. They're like, we don't want our merchants to be able to do that. So they started fighting them. And they realized, they're like, wait a second. On average, we're getting 2%. Let's start charging direct. So now they're in endorsing to charge your customer 3%. Hey, we'll even help you. We'll embed that in your software. We'll make it very easy for you to do that. So I think that's even gotten worse, where we're going to then hyperinflate the market and start charging 3-4% to the customer directly. It's like, yeah, this is not the direction we want to go.
Hey, and you know, this is like making the argument for cryptocurrencies and cutting out the banks. They're going to cut their own throats and the clearing houses, right? Because all Visa and MasterCard are clearing houses, right?
Yeah, I'm not. So on the crypto side, I think that the bigger challenge will be when there's no mining, what is the cost of transactions? That's a different discussion for another call. I love that stuff. I could talk about that all day too. But I think in general, like, because I've looked at it objectively and said, what does it cost to actually process these transactions? Even on the crypto side, at some point, somebody's going to get the gimmick. Visa, MasterCard did it. They're like, we give rewards to the consumer. The consumer will fight to keep those things. And then we can, you know, put in whatever other fees we need to at that point. And that's what's kind of occurred at this point. Like, I'm not giving my 2% cash back either. And I'm like on the other side of the fence advocating not to charge that much. So it's a really unique problem. All of the law right now is focused on the Visa, MasterCards of the world. That's not the problem. Like, paying 2% for cashback rewards isn't the problem. It's what they charge above that. And that's not Visa, MasterCard's problem. That's the credit card processor's problem. And so,
clearing houses.
Yeah, these clearing houses clearing are agents. Making, I yeah. mean, and you can see them, they're gobbling up all of the other ones and making these incredibly large companies. So it's dangerous.
Sold. Where do I sign up, Jeremy? I'm sold.
Paymentbrokers.com.
I'm not in the business. I just get the wires and ACHs. I don't do credit cards because I don't want to pay 3 or 4%. So
they're coming after you next. And by the way, so you take ACH.
Yeah.
You know, ACH costs nothing. If you look at the actual NASA laws and how those transactions move, there's no cost to these things. And
no.
They're like super secure and there's really no risk. So cost for risk and compliance and other things are a huge hurdle. And I understand that cost. So I'm not trying to discount that Visa, MasterCard shouldn't charge some of these fees, but they're now going after ACH. And more recently, what it used to be 10 cents a transaction or 20 cents flat rate, now they're starting to charge a percentage. And you're going to start seeing that number move up really quick. So I've now seen that Stripe and others have gone down the path to charge, you know, a percent per transaction for ACH. That used to not be the case. So I see right. what's happening now because people are understanding how to do this cheaper.
Can you negotiate with like Quicken, Intuit?
No, QuickBooks, not happening. It is non-negotiable. They have a flat rate system for a reason. If you have significant volume, it's worth a shot, but you're going to have to be doing, you know, $100,000, $200,000 a month in transactions to have any kind of clout to have right. any leg to stand on with them. I've done successful negotiations with QuickBooks directly. But it's also, when you look at it in terms of business, it's not really a commercial grade processing company.
Right.
Okay. It's more of a small to medium business size company.
All right. It's really exciting. I think a lot of you out there can profit by this. Jeremy, what's the website? How do we connect with you?
Super easy. Paymentbrokers.com.
Paymentbrokers.com. Link in the show notes. Make sure you go take a look at the show notes at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. While you're there, sign up for your free newsletter. Jeremy, very exciting service, and we wish you the best.
Thanks, man. Great to meet you.
Thanks for listening to Cary Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.